Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is active and living and sharp. And we ask as we look at it this morning and during the next service that you would work Christ-likeness in our hearts because of it. Draw us closer to you. Help us to grow in our understanding, our wisdom, and the application of the word in our lives by the Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we are coming to the close of Hebrews. Most likely one or two messages left after this. So we're going to do it in under 70 messages, believe it or not, right? And looking forward to our next thing during Sunday school. But I do want to finish strong. And I came to these verses. Verse 18, it says, "Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner." I'm going to ask a question real quick and encourage you in your scripture reading. All right. Verse 18, when the author says, "Pray for us," and then goes on to explain himself, what they desire to have prayed for, and so on and so on. Who is the us? Maybe you're going to say, "We can't know." Or maybe you have the answer. Who's us? No.
The author of Hebrews, I think, would be involved in that.
So yeah, the one writing, and then, but who's the plural? Us. Church? No. There we go. Jane got it. All right, Jane got it. The leaders. Look at the context. Verse 17. Obey the leaders. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, the author and the other leaders, all right, of their church, or the churches, because this is written to Hebrew believers as a whole, right, that are going through trial and suffering. So number one, what we note this morning, and this is going to be a very short message, it's more like a devotional, all right, is this: pray for us. The author is asking that the Hebrews be praying for their leaders, himself included. There's power in prayer. And often I think what happens is our understanding of God's sovereignty sometimes can make us not pray or feel like, well, whatever God has decreed, and because God is sovereign and he's in control of all things, he's going to do what he wants to do whether I pray or not. But the author, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, as he gets into the very practical side of the book, that closing, right? Hebrews is a big sermon, basically. It's one big sermon, and that's why even at the very beginning when we opened up Hebrews, we read through the entire book. Do you remember that? I think we got to like chapter 11. We almost read through the entire book. The following Sunday, we read through the rest. It is one big exhortation, but then this reminds us that this is a personal letter as well. We don't know who wrote it, but the author is writing a personal letter to these believers, and he encourages them with this: please pray for us. Pray for me and pray for your leaders. Somehow, in God's sovereignty, our prayers do make an impact, and we are called to pray. Called to pray without ceasing. We're called to devote ourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with all thanksgiving. We are commanded as believers to pray. Specifically here in this context, to pray for the leaders. So I do ask, and humbly ask this morning, would you be praying for me? And pray that the Lord would also raise up other leaders in the church. We would have other people to partner aside, come alongside and partner in the leadership of this church. But he doesn't end there. His command or his request is pray for us. And then he says, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. He shares and seeks to encourage them that this letter and his conduct are done in a non-greedy way, a sincere conscience with honorable conduct, not just in some things or a few things, but rather how? In all things. We should seek to be able to say this alongside of the author: let's keep clear consciences and conduct ourselves honorably in all things. He also, in a sense, is saying, listen, you can pray for me. And not saying that he's earned their prayer, but he's saying, please pray for me in the understanding that I have a good conscience, desiring to conduct myself honorably in all things. In other words, obviously, if this letter is being written, where is the author? Is he with the recipients or away from the recipients? He's away from them, right? He's not with them currently, and we don't know exactly where he is or what situation he's in. We do know that he's talked about believers at this time being imprisoned, having lost property, having gone through persecution, remembering those who aren't with them because they're in prison. Could it quite possibly be that the author is actually in prison? I'd say it's a possibility. We know of some other people who are in prison. It says this, take notice, verse 23, that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. Verse 23 of chapter 13. So we see Timothy at this time has been released. In other words, he had been imprisoned. Could the author at this time still be in prison himself? We don't know, but possibly. So he's saying, even though I'm in prison, or even though I'm far off from you, listen to what I have to say and pray for me, because I'm conducting myself in a manner honorably, in an honorable manner. Unlike those who would be pushing the Judaism laws added onto Christ. That's what they're struggling with, right? That's the point of Hebrews. He's saying, listen to me and pray for me and the other leaders who have taught you the truth, or are not trying to lead you astray. Verse 19, and I urge you all the more to do this. The author is really urging his readers to pray. Why? Because prayer actually does matter. It does. It does make an impact. And the goal in this prayer is this. He says, I urge you all the more to do this. I urge you, pray for me. Why? So that I may be restored to you the sooner. He wants to be able to come and see these people whom he's writing to. Once again, we don't know a ton of the details here, but quite possibly he is in prison, or there is something else preventing him from being able to come and see them. And he asks twice, pray for me, and I urge you to pray for me that I would be able to come and see you. Why would the author say this unless prayer actually makes a what? Prayer actually makes an impact. Prayer does make a difference. Does it mean every single time we pray for something specific, that thing comes to pass? No. All right? And I think of this story, and I think I've shared it before. I was helping with a junior high missions trip when I was in senior high, and we were down in Manchester, New Hampshire, and we were about to put on a large Cola War, something we had worked all week for. Handing out invitations and preparing, renting a park, getting the permits, and so on and so on. And it's about to start. We're about 20 minutes from starting time, and the two different groups are huddled under these 8-foot by 8-foot tents, completely torrential downpour, thunder and lightning, nothing in sight other than black clouds. And I thought, I should really pray with the group. I thought, no, I'm not going to pray, because what happens if the weather doesn't clear? And then I think, I should really pray with the group. And then I think, no, what would happen if it doesn't clear? I'll keep praying alone, quietly in my heart. And eventually I decide, you know what, let's all pray together. And I lifted up my voice and we prayed together. And we asked that within 10 minutes the weather be cleared. And it was about 3.5 minutes we had blue skies and sun. Now, does that mean every single time we see weather that we don't like, we pray it's going to come to pass? No. Let me tell you, I prayed that we'd have no snow this winter so I wouldn't have to shovel. Well, guess what? We had to shovel. All right? The point is not that, but the point is this. God does honor and answer prayer. Sometimes he does answer it with a no. Sometimes he answers it with a yes. Sometimes he answers it with a wait. But what we are doing is we are casting ourselves at the feet of God, knowing that it does make a difference. And we are commanded to. We're commanded to devote ourselves to prayer. To pray without ceasing. To pray here for our leaders, for the church. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to encourage one another in this prayer. Do not allow your understanding of God's control to prevent you from praying. Because somehow in God's sovereignty overall, He has ordained that you pray at that time to see the answer that He's ordained already for His honor and glory. Think about that. Did God know that at that time, huddled in that tent, I would pray? Of course He did. Did He already have it planned that He would clear the skies at that time? Of course He did. But do you think if I didn't pray at that moment with the group, could things have been different? I think they could have been. And so my encouragement for you is cast yourself humbly at God's feet. Prayer does a few things for us. It recognizes God's power and control, right? It recognizes God's power and control that He can do that which we are asking. Number two, it also recognizes that God is loving. Think about it this way. If you have a dictator who has a lot of power and control, but you know he doesn't care anything about his people or you in particular, is it worth it for you to go to him and ask him for something? You're not going to. It's not going to be worth it. You know the answer already. But when we go to God Almighty, who is in power and control and sovereign over all things, and we ask him for things, it's declaring what? That he is actually loving and caring and wants you to come to him. So it's declaring something about God. It's also declaring, thirdly, something about us. That we are weak and in need of God's help. That we can't control things. And that we need God to control things. And fourthly, what it does is it gives all honor and glory to God. Why? Because if He does that thing which we are asking for, whether in our timing or His timing, or it's a no because He knows best, it is bringing honor and glory to Him. So therefore, would we be a church that prays? Would we be a church that recognizes that prayer makes a difference? Would we be a church that lays ourselves at the feet of God, asking Him to do what He will do for His honor and glory?